everybody. Happy, what is it, Wednesday now? Is it Wednesday?
It is Wednesday.
Oh, man, this is a long week. That's no good. This is Trevin McGee with Scene Stealers Podcast. I'm here again with Eric Moline and Trey Hawk, and we've got some big, what?
I said, hey.
Oh, hey.
Hey, Trevin.
Hey,
hey,
guy.
How you doing?
Don't introduce us that way.
Hey, that was really.
Hey.
No, Trevin, I thought that was a great intro.
Oh, okay.
It's a rough crowd already. We're here today to talk about Oscars. We got some other stuff, but the big item, big ticket item, is the Oscars. They're this Sunday.
Predictions.
Predictions, who will win, who should win. And we've got a few other things to talk about, but that's going to be the meat of this podcast.
There's we're having really a really big party.
We are, yeah. Tell everybody about the party.
So we're having a big Oscar party on Sunday, the 24th of February at 6 p.m. At the Screenland Armor, which is in, quote, the Northland. But I should mention for people that are scared to drive over the bridge that it's only 7 minutes from the other Screenland, the Screenland Crossroads.
Yeah.
So it's actually a very short distance, and I've had a number of people say, oh, it's in the Northland. I don't go up there. And it's kind of like, well, get over it.
I love the North, calling it the Northland, because it makes it sound like it's some like Viking.
Yeah.
You know, province.
Kurt Russell's out there with the other scientists.
Yeah. There's research going on that we're not allowed access to.
And, well, and they also make it sound like it's at Smithville Lake. It's like, oh, I've got to drive an hour almost to get there.
You have to go over a bridge and take an exit.
Like. And in reality, there will be some similarities because Wilford Brimley will be at our Oscar party.
Yeah, big surprise, announcement. Wilford Brimley will be there.
So that's the similarity to the thing. No, it's going to be great. It's free. And here's the thing. We're going to have drinks, and we're going to be watching the Oscars on the big screen, and we're going to have trivia, and we're going to be giving away tons and tons
of
prizes.
Free stuff. A lot of free stuff.
And this year, as you know, and if you don't, you'll find out during this podcast, anything can happen. This is one of the craziest Oscars I've ever seen, and we're going to have a ball, and we're going to get angry, and we're going to get fired up and passionate, and it'll be fun.
Yeah. It is a lot of fun.
There's a ballot on the website, so go to scenestealers.com right now. You can fill out your ballot before you come if you can't make it by 7:30. If you do get there before 7:30, when the first award is announced, we will have blank ballots there. So you can fill out a blank ballot and just hold on to that during the broadcast.
Yep, and also there is a special, I guess prize would be the appropriate word, but there's a special prize pack for whoever does the worst.
It's always fun to try to do the worst. And this year, I think that's going to be really difficult.
It's going to be hard, yeah.
Yeah, because there's going to be a lot of upsets.
You would think that it's kind of like shooting the moon in cards. Yeah. You'd think it's easy, but it's not, because, you know, there's always an upset. There's always something weird. Someone always gets one wrong. I think I've been going to Oscar parties that you've either hosted or that I've helped host since like 2007, maybe earlier, and I think I've seen 1-0 ballot. I think I've seen one where someone got all of them wrong.
Yeah.
In that entire time, it's not as easy as you'd think.
Yeah, this year just one was upset by it's hard to be a pimp.
It's hard out there for a pimp.
Yeah.
So yeah, just bet against Daniel Day-Lewis, and at least you'll get one right/wrong.
Right.
And Anne Hathaway.
Yeah.
Hathaway, bet against probably. Anne Hathaway too.
Two.
Spoiler alert, we're getting into our podcast.
Yeah.
but Trey wants to talk about film school also.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Trey. He's got this great thing going on at the Alamo on Saturdays, and so tell us a little bit more about that too.
So every Saturday, Alamo Draft House hosts film school, which is curated by a student group that I run at the Kansas City Art Institute, which the student group is called Screening Room. But this is a fully student-curated, important film series. And we titled it that by calling it important films and not classic films or American films or foreign films. It doesn't lock us in to just watching, I guess, a certain type of film. So it is an ongoing film series. It's every Saturday. It's usually in the early afternoon. So this week, for example, is Paris, Texas at 2 p.m. Mm. This past week, we just watched Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. The week before that, we watched the 1977 Japanese film Houseu.
Yep, and there was complimentary acid at the, at the draft house.
I don't know. They just put it in the water.
Right, yeah.
Week before that was Road Warrior,
which I did make it to Road Warrior.
Yeah, and I heard that they had the sound levels at the correct level, which mm-hmm. was blow your ass out of the seat loud.
Yeah, that was great to see that in a theater. That's one of my favorite movies anyway, and so to catch that in the theater was awesome. So you weren't there for that one?
I was out of town for that one, which I really was upset that I wasn't able to make that.
Literally been out of town for every other. Like, I am not blowing off your film school. I literally have been out of town every other screening. I really wanted to see Last Unicorn. I really wanted to catch Haosu. I'm going to this one.
Yeah.
But man, I've every time you make an announcement on which one's this week, I'm like, oh god damn it, you know, because I'm gone or I'm absent. So.
And that's kind of that's kind of what we're trying to do is that we're, you know, like this week is Vim Vendors. Mm-hmm. Who did Wings of Desire and, you know, Far Away So Close. He did Until the End of the World. He did the recent documentary Pina.
Yeah, so which is on Criterion now, and it's great.
Yeah, and so we're really trying to pick films, both cult classics, classic American, foreign directors, that make you kind of go, God, I need to go see this. And we've had a couple of people who just, you know, as soon as the film screening ends, they just go and get their tickets for next week, which has been great, and we hope to keep kind of pushing it. I think we're going to have Band of Outsiders after that.
Nice.
We've got, you know, a couple of good Westerns coming up. I think March or April is going to be our sci-fi month, so we're going to have movies like Silent Running. So we're just we really try to be all over the map, but each film we try and really make it justifiable as this is an important film that you need to see for these reasons.
And it's a great it's a great service to any sort of, you know, burgeoning film goer or movie fan, because really, you know, the days of catching a movie like that on TV are kind of non-existent. I mean, I remember I ran into a lot of those movies on accident. The Sci-Fi Channel used to do Saturday anime, and that's how I saw Akira for the first time. It's how I saw all these sort of anime movies, Ninja Scroll, all these movies that I loved later. And even like Joe Bob Briggs with Monster Vision, that was the way that I saw Return of the Living Dead, you know, stuff. And those shows don't really exist anymore.
Sure.
So, you know, something like this, I think it's a real, you know, value. So go to that. Go to film school. You won't regret it.
Fill in the holes on your list.
Yep. Fill in the holes.
Fill
Speaking
in your
of
holes.
Which, Eric, Eric got to fill in a host spot. How's that for a segue? You like that?
That's
Is
good.
That pretty good?
Yeah,
it's not bad. No, it was terrible. I know it was.
Well, I wasn't really filling in.
It wasn't like they didn't have a better host lined up.
They should have.
No, Eric got to host last Friday. Eric got to do this great Walking Dead panel at the Midland and hang out with Norman Reedus and Michael Rooker, Greg Nicotero, one of the producer writers and now directors
Makeup
on the show. Makeup legend.
Yeah.
You know, he dropped, just kind of casually dropped that Sin City 2 wrapped filming on, I guess it would have been Saturday.
That
he said
day,
it wraps, wraps tomorrow, I think he said.
And that was to the excitement of one?
Yeah, like one guy stood up and was like, yeah!
Awesome.
And then later he asked a question about...
Sin City is a great movie.
No, it's not.
I love that
I'm
movie.
With Trey on that one. It's not a good
movie.
Yeah,
I'm very excited about this movie.
It might be one-third good movie.
Yeah.
Boo!
I think Sin City is a great example of why direct adaptations of the comic books don't work, because it's 90% voiceover and poor framing and
so we have this Oscar podcast that we're going to
awesome.
Do.
Let's do
that.
Well, all right. I was going to let you talk about the panel a bit.
It was really cool. Go on the website and look. We have videos and pictures from it. It was 90 minutes long, and there was 4,000 people there.
It was
sold out in
2 days.
Packed. It was insane.
I didn't
Who
even...
Who hosted it?
Me.
Well, no. Like, what venue?
Oh, the Midland.
I know you hosted
it. It was me.
It was just
really,
me.
I
was.
Put it on in
I
my
did
house.
It. I, look what I did.
It was supposed to be Sean Edwards, and then I filled in.
Oh.
No, it wasn't. It was me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Now, my biggest regret is I wished I'd hung out after, because I really wanted to meet Michael Rooker. Like,
he was awesome.
Especially after, he was exactly what I thought he would be like. After
he was watching the clips that they were playing backstage, and he was like checking the audience's reaction out and comparing it to the night before in Cleveland, And then he was like doing karate kicks and getting warmed up backstage to get all pumped up to go out.
Yeah.
And I was the guy he was kicking.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I was like down on my knees going, ah, and he's like kicking me going, yeah, yeah. I'm just like, this guy's awesome.
And then you came out and introduced everybody, and he was the first guy out, and he did a dive roll over the couch.
Yeah.
And then when he shook your hand, he kicked over your head.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty surreal. It was awesome. And then, you know, we got to the...
This is a man who's haunted my dreams since Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer in 1986.
Yeah, so. And you managed to mention that, too.
Yeah, and then he did a couple more quotes from the movie,
yeah,
which was awesome.
Yeah.
So, anyway, yeah, it was really good fun.
It was good fun. The video's on the website. You should check it out. It was a lot. If you're a Walking Dead fan, you were probably there. I mean, I knew the show had a really strong fan base, but holy shit. Like, those people really fucking love Walking Dead. They really liked what they were there for. People came in zombie makeup. Someone had a Norman Reedus tattoo, like an actual tattoo of his face, and was sitting in the front row. So that happened. Yeah, it was something.
And I've met many of them on Twitter since then.
Yeah, I bet.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Cool. So anyway, we've got this Oscar thing that we should probably start talking about at some point. Real quick, though, how happy are you about Argo's recent WGA and DGA wins? Argo just won.
You know what?
Argo 2 weeks ago won the Directors Guild Award, which is kind of frankly insane.
Yeah.
Because the Guild Awards are nominated and voted on by only the people in that profession. So only directors vote on the Directors Guild Awards. Only writers vote on the Writers Guild Awards. Writers Guild has some kind of weird rules for what can get nominated based on adaptations, and, you know, I don't know. There's some weird stuff. But for the director?
Well, we should mention this, and I don't know if you want to wait until we get to the category or not, but the Directors Guild and the Writers Guild are more mainstream than the Oscars. And the reason being is that it is directors from all over the spectrum. So we have people who work in TV, we have commercial directors, we have and basically the idea is that directors voting on directors, but you have this wider spectrum of storytellers, not just the guys who are auteurs and trying to make good art, and certainly not the 300 directors and only 300 directors who nominated in the Best Director category this year for the Oscars that chose to leave Ben Affleck off of that list. So if you think about it, the Oscar directing category is a way more exclusive list than the DGA. And that's something that people don't know. They think that the DGA is going to be a little more high-minded and artier. But the DGA award has been more mainstream consistently than the Oscars.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, they gave it to Nolan the year that Dark Knight came out.
Yeah.
That was the only award he... saw for that.
So actually, let's go into editing. This is the very first one, and recently Argo won the ACE award, I believe,
I think
editing. Yeah. And so we have Argo, we have Zero Dark Thirty, Life of Pi, Lincoln, and Silver Linings Playbook, which are probably the five front runners for Best Picture as well.
Yeah.
And so in this category, I think it's pretty clear. I would have liked to have thought that Zero Dark Thirty would have been in the picture, or maybe even Silver Linings Playbook, for putting together such a energy-filled film. But I think that Argo is the clear, obvious winner here, and I think that's mainly because the tension and the thriller aspect of it worked so well that you really have to chalk that up to the editing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
It is interesting that Zero Dark would be the spoiler in this category if there was going to be something that would trump Argo. And to me, pitting Zero Dark 30 against Argo directly, in a really direct way, it illustrates the difference between a sort of thoughtful character drama with Zero Dark 30, which should be a thriller because it's based largely around just the hunt for this single man, the hunt for Osama bin Laden, against what could be an interesting character piece, kind of an ensemble character piece, about people forced to, like, hide in a house that is turned into a thriller. So you've got these two movies. One could have been just a straight thriller where we're hunting for a single man and wasn't. Instead, it was a character piece. The other could have been a thoughtful ensemble character drama and wasn't. Instead, it was a thriller. And we are rewarding the film thriller. That decided to go for a thriller. You know,
I would argue and say that Zero Dark Thirty isn't a character piece. I think that certainly her character develops over time, and certainly the last shot of the movie is about her character. But for me, what made Zero Dark Thirty impressive was the fact that it took all of these threads of this insane long 10-year investigation and put it together in a way that made one follow the other, and it just it made sense. And making sense of an investigation like that just seemed like an insane task, yeah. You know. And I think both in the editing and then also in the screenplay, I think Zero Dark Thirty should be rewarded, but probably won't.
No, I don't think it will be.
Yep. All right, so Argo editing, right?
Yeah, Argo editing. I think, honestly, Zero Dark Thirty or Silver Linings Playbook would have been my favorite in this category. But I think Argo's going to win.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue that. It's going to probably be the Argo show, frankly.
Well, honestly, let's go through this. There's not a whole lot that Argo's nominated for. It doesn't have... I mean, we've got Lincoln and A Life of Pi with 12 and 11.
It's nominated for?
No, I don't think it will. So now let's go to costume. And this one, I think, is pretty easy. Anna Karenina, mm-hmm. Mirror Mirror, Les Miserables, Lincoln, and Snow White and the Huntsman. Now the costume category traditionally does not go to one of the prestige Best Picture films. This is one of those weird categories, yeah, where they actually reward the movie that has... has the best costumes, right, instead of the Best Picture. Anna Karenina is far and away the front runner here to win this, and I think that that's due not only to the crazy detailed costumes of the period from this Tolstoy adaptation, but I think Mirror Mirror is my favorite in this category. That's a movie that a lot of people didn't really like that much. Mm-hmm. It's Tarsem Singh, and he did a very lighthearted take.
You know how I feel about Tarsem Singh.
Yeah, but he did a really lighthearted take on the Snow White legend that I thought was immeasurably better than Snow White and the Huntsman, which was just the most boring medieval crap ever. And I think Mirror Mirror, the best thing about it are the costumes. And the thing is that people aren't going to remember it fondly, and so I don't think they're going to look back at it. But if anybody was to look at it, I think that would be the clear winner. As such, I think Mirror Mirror is my favorite. Anna Karenina is definitely going to win. Les Miserables is the spoiler in this category, but ugh.
And I really think, with Tarsem Singh, Mirror Mirror and the costumes are, of course, going to be profound and interesting and compelling. The reason why I think Anna Karenina will win and should win is that Joe Wright's vision is visually driven, and the story is absolutely hinges on the visuals telling the story, and part of that is the costume design, and so I feel like in this situation, it's not that the costumes are just well executed and beautiful, it's that they have a lot of storytelling heavy lifting to do,
yeah,
and they do it. Mm-hmm. So I think Anna Karenina will win, and I think it should win, even though I am a fan of Tarsem Singh's vision most of the time, even though a lot of his films are not fully successful.
Mm-hmm. Immortals.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would love it if Anna Karenina wins. I think it is likely to win, but I think that Les Miserables could come in and spoil it, just because on almost reputation alone, yeah, not even really quality of the costumes, but yeah, just because it's Les Miserables.
And the people that want that movie to win some Oscars, mm-hmm, are going to look at this category at and say, this categories is one where we might, mm-hmm, be able to give it something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is costume people voting for costume people within the category in the Academy. It's just a free-for-all?
It was, but now it's a free-for-all.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So now it's a full free-for-all. I was like, man, that sucks.
Yeah, so again, like I said, reputation. Some people will vote Les Mis because it's Les Mis.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think that it might win.
So in the best cinematography category, we have the winner of the, what is it, the ASC Awards, I think?
Yeah.
ASC Awards this year, Roger Deakins, mm-hmm, for Skyfall.
Not even nominated, right?
Is he nominated? He's nominated.
Yeah, he's nominated.
Yeah.
Good.
He's nominated for the 11th time or 10th time. Mm-hmm. here at the Oscars for Skyfall. And then underneath him, I think the second tier person who I thought was going to win the cinematography is Claudio Miranda for Life of Pi. Mm-hmm. We also have Janusz Kaminski for Lincoln. We have Robert Richardson for Django Unchained. And for Anna Karenina, the guy who lensed that film, whose name escapes me at this time.
Yeah.
But Trey, I'll let you start with this one.
I think it's Skyfall or Life of Pi. I don't think that Janusz Kaminski is going to win it. I mean, there's not enough dazzle. I mean, it's excellent. Kaminski is always tasteful, is always incredible as far as his cinematography. But
Lincoln was so murky looking. It was so dirty.
I think the nature of the film is going
to
keep
right.
him.
Yeah, that's what
right.
I was trying to
exactly.
say. That's the joke I was making.
Whereas there's
a
lot of
accent. But
yeah, you confused me.
Yeah.
It was like, wait.
Yeah.
And you can't see it, but he did like a limp wristy
thing. I did not. I did no such thing.
Too.
Last year's winner was Robert Richardson for Hugo, and he's up again for Django Unchained, so I think he's out. And also, that movie looked okay, I guess.
Well, in Life of Pi does, in some ways, what Hugo did last year, where there's a lot of effect shots.
Yes.
There's also a lot of practical stuff. There's a good mix from the very grounded to the very spectacular. I think Life of Pi actually is probably going to win for this because Skyfall, I mean, Roger Deakins does some amazing things in Skyfall. That's what makes Skyfall is Roger Deakins. So I feel like he probably should win, but Life of Pi, I think, is going to win.
Yeah,
I'm
the same way. I think Life of Pi is going to get it. I'd love it if Deakins got it, but I'll always, like, every time he's nominated, I want him to win because I think he's...
You know, in Skyfall, like, there were just some... I mean, he made an action film
look
like art.
I know. I bought it last week, and I've watched it twice, and that backlit fight scene where it's just all... I mean, he does some really inventive stuff with backlighting. The shot where...
the lighting in the dragon pit.
Yeah.
I mean, and the fact that we can say that Roger Deakins
lit a dragon pit.
He should win.
the shots on the train during that whole chase at the beginning and the way that he frames that chase is incredible. That backlit fight scene in Shanghai is amazing. That shot where Javier Bardem is walking away from the burning building and it's just his silhouette. You can't see any details about him. It makes him so much more menacing than if you could actually see a look on his face or the fact that he's just this specter.
The gondola ride through the glowing dragons? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
All
so,
of it. So beautiful.
It's showy. It's clearly, you know, a master at work. But I agree with you. I think Life of Pi is probably going to get it because it's, you know, it sounds bad, but it's showier.
Yeah.
And it's more effect shots. It's the kind of cinematography that you actually go, hey, somebody, that's a conscious decision. Somebody did that on purpose. Whereas, you know, you watch Skyfall, you might think that, or you might just think it's a James Bond movie.
Yeah.
So you guys are both picking Claudio Miranda for Life of Pi.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm picking Deakins. I think they're going to give it to him. And I'll tell you what, I'm not happy about it. I like Skyfall, and I think that Deakins does make the film. But if you look at the films he's lost for, it's insane.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're going to give him an Oscar for a Bond film?
Didn't he lose for...
He lost for Country... Well, he
No Country
and, No Country for Old Men and the Assassination of Jesse James in the same year to Robert Elswit for There Will Be Blood, which is understandable. But it's just, you know, I don't know. I mean, Skyfall is going to win Best Song. We don't even need to go over that category.
Sure.
Adele's going to win that.
Yeah.
She's going to perform on the show. This will be the other Oscar that they're going to give it. And I feel that the combination of wanting to reward Skyfall for being the most successful James Bond film ever.
Yeah, it crossed the $1 million mark months ago, and it's still – and that was before DVD sales even factored in.
Yeah, and I think Deakins being who he is, I think this is his year.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, if they can give Whoopi Goldberg an Academy Award for Ghost because she didn't win for Color Purple,
they can give
Deakins
this all day.
For Skyfall.
We could
they
do
can
this.
Give that.
We could do
because
this all day.
He at least, this is better than Whoopi Goldberg's performance in Ghost.
Okay, fair enough. I like it.
Yeah.
So moving on to best production design, we talked about Anna Karenina for briefly as a nominee in the cinematography category, but I think the one that it probably deserves it more for is the production design category. And Anna Karenina is nominated as well as Les Miserables. Again, this is very similar to the costume category in that respect. Also, Lincoln, Life of Pi, and The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey. Which I think everybody will agree is probably at the bottom of the list for all of these, just because it's a production design that we've seen in three other films before, and it was handsomely mounted again, like it always is, regardless of whether you saw it in a frame rate that made it look like a soap opera. But I think that this category is really tough to call. In my heart, I know it should be Anna Karenina. I mean, that movie... production design, you know, really
that
did
makes
make it.
Like we were talking about how Deakin Cinematography makes Skyfall. Production design makes Anna Karenina. The entire story structure is dependent upon.
Well, it didn't have to be, but it is, and it's a better movie for it.
That's what I mean. Yeah. But yeah.
So
what makes that movie unique and that adaptation, you know, significant?
I feel like so I think it should win, but I don't know what's going to happen here because I feel like they're going to reward it in the costume category. And they're going to want to give Les Miserables something, so I don't know. I'm going to stick with Anna Karenina because my heart tells me that it's obvious that it's a way bigger achievement. I thought the Les Miserables art direction was very dull, and I know that it was meant to be that way in a certain respect, but there was too many close-ups and not enough interesting background. So for me, Anna Karenina all the way.
I'm taking a darker tact than you on this. I think Anna Karenina should win, and the reason why it should win is that, yes, the production design was absolutely crucial to the story. The story hinged on the production design. Two, there was a lot of practical production design, things that actually moved, set pieces that actually, you know, were designed in the real world and had to function seamlessly with the actor and the camera blocking. Just the scope of this was unreal. Les Mis should not win for the same reason that The Hobbit should not win, and that is a lot of the production design that could have been practical and should have been practical was not practical, was built in in the computer and laid in afterwards.
And these days it's so hard to tell sometimes. It's like, how do we know if we're rewarding production design or visual effects?
Right.
And I think that's what Les Mis is it's largely visual effects. I think that's one of the reasons. And you work against the production design through the shallow depth of field close-ups that Hooper relies on. So the production design, one, is less important in the storytelling, what little there is in Les Mis. And two, most of it's not production design. Most of it is visual effects. And that should be in a different category. So Les Mis shouldn't win, but it will win.
No!
It will win.
You think it's
going to
win?
It's going to win.
Yeah,
we're
going
to all be pissed off in this. Anna Karenina should win and won't win.
Yeah.
And this is going to be and Anna Karenina, you know, God, I really did love
I know
that
you
movie.
Love this movie.
Yeah.
I did too. It was great.
Trey and I didn't rehearse our answers before this, but I do. I agree completely.
If you keep agreeing with him, I'm going to have to disagree.
You can. I mean, you're usually the
contrary. That's a good threat.
Yes.
Yeah. That's a good threat.
Yeah.
But no, I won't linger on it. Pretty much the same reasons as Trey. I think that Les Mis is going to win based on reputation again and the fact that it's Les Mis, and I think that Anna Karenina should win. For what we've already said. So
let's
just keep going.
I'm noticing a trend, and we should bring this up before we move on because we're going to go to Best Documentary next. But we have now gone through three categories that Lincoln has been nominated for, and we haven't picked it for one yet. This is a trend I think that we're going to see continue on Oscar night, and it's kind of crazy that it got 12 nominations and it's going to win very few Oscars. But when you stack it up in these specific categories, it's usually easy to see that there's a clear better choice.
Who led nominations last year?
Last year was, I don't know, it wasn't The Artist.
Mm-mm.
So
I'm trying to think.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
The Best Documentary Feature category, this is an incredibly great category this year. The only movie I have not seen in this category that they didn't send us screeners for is Five Broken Cameras. Which apparently, from what I understand, makes a nice what do you call it?
Companion?
No, like you have the gatekeepers on one side and you have five broken cameras on the other from the Palestinian standpoint.
Oh.
So the gatekeepers is nominated as well. The gatekeepers has been doing very strong business since the nomination. Mm-hmm. It's currently kind of blowing up and it's getting a lot of press. And then we also have the Invisible War and the AIDS documentary, activist documentary, How to Survive a Plague. I think the winner in this category is going to be Searching for Sugar Man, which has won the all of the documentary awards preceding this, leading up to it, and is a perfect example of a story that had no business being as riveting and as entertaining as it was. And because of the way it's put together, I think that it gets the respect it deserves, kind of like Man on Wire, where we just take a subject that is kind of interesting, but it's told in a really great way. And then we have the idea that Rodriguez, the main person who this movie profiles, is such a likable, humble, amazing person. Mm-hmm. People want him to win something. So I think both of those things put together makes Searching for Sugar Man the winner. And in my opinion, it probably should win. The Gatekeepers is a heavy, heavy movie.
Invisible War is tough, too.
There's some amazing stuff in it, yeah.
And, I mean, it's a really strong category.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just because I am who I am and probably for the same reasons as you, I loved Sugar Man. I loved that movie so much. You know,
and there's passion for it, just like that. Yeah.
Yeah,
we're both saying there's a million great things about these other movies, but still,
yeah,
there's something about this one.
Well, I know exactly what it is. It made me feel good.
Yeah,
you know.
And documentaries, I think, is always one of the most compelling categories at the Academy Awards. It usually is the toughest to pick, or one of the toughest to pick, and that's because all of the films are usually very good.
Well, they did it different this year. They did the voting is going to be very different. They're telling everybody that they're encouraging them to see them, but they're not requiring that you see them all before, and it's not limited to the people that that nominated them. So this year they're opening up; anybody can vote for these documentaries, which makes me think again that Sugar Man has the best chance
because it's the most crowd
pleasing of the bunch.
Yeah, it's by far it's the most approachable, and that's not, I'm not saying that like a lot of times when I say, oh, it's an approachable film.
It's an insult.
Yeah, it's an insult. It's like it's lowest common denominator. This isn't. This is very well crafted, very well put together. And in fact, the only documentary that I preferred this year to Sugar Man, and in large part it was just preference, but it also was one that was very well put together. It's the way it was composed, and that was The Imposter. That was the only documentary that I liked more.
Yeah.
But both of these are very structured. Those were very structured documentary, and The Imposter wasn't nominated in this category. So it's like I would like to see Sugar Man win, and I think it's going to.
Cool. Well, I hope we're all right because that was a blast. I love that movie.
Okay, we're going to go over this one very quickly because at the most, I think we've seen two films in this category, and we all know what's going to win. The Best Foreign Film category, War Witch, Kon-Tiki, No, starring Gael Garcia Bernal, A Royal Affair from Denmark, and Amour from Austria, which is actually about two French people, directed by Michael Haneke, with five nominations this year, including picture, director, actress, and screenplay. If Amour doesn't win this category, it's going to be pretty messed up. But then again, Amélie didn't win, and neither did Pan's Labyrinth. So anything can happen in this dumb category.
Yeah.
But I think it's Amour. Let's just be honest.
Now that it's opened up to everybody, like you're saying, now that they've changed the voting, so other than just,
They haven't changed the voting in this category.
Oh, they haven't?
It's different for every category, my friend.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
In the foreign film category, you still have to sign something that says that you have seen all of the films, and you have to go see them at screenings in theaters that are manned by somebody
who can say that you have to sign.
As far as I know, that still exists for this category.
Well, then it is a crapshoot.
Well, I still think – I haven't seen any other films, but Jesus, man.
Yeah.
Amour is the best film I saw this year, so I can't imagine anything else being better than that.
Anyway. I think there are two reasons why Amour is going to win this category. One, I think that it's gotten the biggest press, the biggest buzz, the biggest push. even though most of that is just coming from sort of awards wins. And I also think it's a really remarkable film. It's an excellent film. It's easy to reward this film because it is so compelling and so well-crafted.
Yeah.
And it also is the one that is most notably in people's minds. So I think Amore's got this.
And you know, last year they gave it to A Separation, which was clearly the best foreign film of last year. And so it felt like, you know, whatever mistakes they'd made in the years past, one of them being Michael Haneke did not win for a white ribbon a couple years back.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, it's like so I think, but you know, last year they're back on track, so hopefully this will end up with a more. And again, I'm saying hopefully, but I haven't seen the other four films.
Yeah.
So I should just shut my mouth because maybe they are better, but I just love Amore so much.
Yeah, the one that I always go back to in this category is that that France submitted the Intouchables instead of Holy Motors. And
it didn't even get in.
Didn't even get in.
Which is crazy because the Intouchables is a record-breaking box office hit in France.
Yeah, it's got a little crossover success here, too.
Yeah, but I would have liked to have seen Holy Motors in this category. Holy Motors I have seen, and that movie is
crazy.
Batshit crazy.
Yeah,
and,
love that movie.
And kind of amazing. So,
all right, let's move on.
Best Animated Feature. For the first time in a long time, this award is up for grabs, and it's actually kind of exciting because it could go at least three different ways, in my opinion. We've got Wreck-It Ralph from Disney,
mm-hmm.
Frankenweenie, also from Disney, and Tim Burton, Brave from Pixar, which is the reason that this category is up for grabs,
and
because
Disney.
That movie just
Pixar
didn't,
and Disney.
Yeah, and Disney, but because this movie just didn't dominate critics the way Pixar movies usually do, this category is kind of, you know, up in the air.
Do you think it's fair to say they're on a decline?
Oh, yeah.
At this point?
I think so.
Between Cars 2 and this?
Cars 2, Brave. I mean, they've had some...
And now they're doing another Monsters.
Before.
Yeah, but Toy Story 3 was excellent.
Yeah.
Toy Story 3 may have been my favorite of those,
no,
of those movies.
No one can argue that with you.
No, of Toy Story movies. So... but anyway, and then we have Paranorman, which is the Leica studio, which was previously nominated for Coraline.
Mm-hmm.
And then, for some reason, Aardman Studios is nominated for The Pirates, Band of Misfits. Which
they must have their own Weinstein there.
It's a really, really mediocre film. And
yeah.
It's computer-generated. It's not even stop-motion animated. So I don't have much love for that movie. But
I mean, the movie's okay, but why is it nominated?
I mean, honestly, I think it's just because it's Aardman. So there was a lot of competition this year, and I think Rise of the Guardians was one that DreamWorks really wanted to see in there,
and
that didn't happen. But let's start with Trevin this time. What's your pick for best animated feature?
I think it's going to go to, and it's also the one I want to win. I think it's going to go to, and Wreck-It Ralph. I think it's going to be Wreck-It Ralph. It's a good story. It's funny. It's got a good like collection of voice talent. And it's a great case for just sort of a simple story told, you know, efficiently and well. It doesn't try and do what Brave kind of does and approach bigger issue or bigger subject matter like gender roles or, you know, female empowerment or things like that. It's just a story about a guy who wants to be something else and. It does it well, and then it's funny on top of that. I think it's just a simple solution to that category.
You know, I think it's going to be Wreck-It Ralph. There is the film that I loved in this category was Paranorman, and I know it has been one that has kind of split critics. It's about it's almost half and half. Some hate it.
Yeah.
Some really don't like it at all.
Critics hate it.
Wreck-It Ralph, there's a lot about it that I like. It's probably my second favorite in this category. But with films like Scott Pilgrim and these hyper-referential films, there's part of me that is a little bit hesitant that even though it pushes all of my buttons, I'm always a little bit skeptical as to the use of nostalgia to get to further the emotional content within a film. And part of that could just be sheer personal preference. And I understand that. So I really like Wreck-It Ralph. I think it's going to win. I'm okay with it winning. I don't think Paranorman's got a chance. If Paranorman was even close, that's the one I would be rooting for.
Paranorman is by far my favorite in this category, too, and not just due to its story, which I thought was more affecting, but mainly due to the insane artistry of the stop motion in this film and the way that they combined it with CG backgrounds. I mean, this is a really, really amazing-looking film, and I think it takes a lot of chances narratively. Paranorman has also been getting a huge push in the trade ads. Mm-hmm. They have bought out an entire cover of the Hollywood Reporter that is not just the front or the back, but it's an envelope.
Yeah.
And it comes with all these critics raving about it and all this little pictures of the artistry and big articles about how they had more range of emotion on the puppet's face mm-hmm. than any stop-motion animation film up to this point. But I just don't think, like you, I think there are people out there that just really didn't like it, and that's going to prevent it from winning. I would like to see Frankenweenie win then, if that's the case. There's nothing special about that from a story standpoint, but I guess I'm just really into movies that have a very specific look and feel, and there's something tactile about the stop motion stuff that I respond to. I did like Wreck-It Ralph. But I think that when you narrow it down and you get rid of all the outside 8-bit animation and video game stuff and the thrilling idea of traveling from video game to video game, you have a pretty normal kind of, you know, standard story that is in most animated films.
Yeah.
So I dug it, but I think Wreck-It Ralph's going to win too. I mean, it's between that, Frankenweenie, and Brave, honestly. Yeah. It could go either way. There's a lot of love for Brave recently because it just won the Golden Globe.
Yeah.
I just don't know
if this is a category that's open to everybody.
What do you mean? Oh, yeah, everybody votes on
everyone
this.
Everyone votes on this, and it might be Brave just because it's Pixar.
Right.
That's the thing you have to factor in.
And you have to assume that some people will be alienated by the cultural references in Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah.
The older crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I know Disney really wants to branch out and do stuff on its own without Tim Burton and without Pixar, and this is the first movie they've had that artistically and commercially has been a hit.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think Disney really wants it. They might get it here. I guess I'll pick Wreck-It Ralph, too, but on Sunday night, I might go with something else. This category is completely up for grabs, I think. And by completely up for grabs, I mean there's three movies that can win it.
Right.
I wish Paranorman was one of them, but it's not. Okay, best adapted screenplay. Mm-hmm. This category is tough. I thought this was going to be Tony Kushner and Lincoln all the way with a side of Silver Linings Playbook because David O. Russell is not going to win in the director category, and that movie is going to be tough to reward elsewhere. But in fact, Argo recently won the Adapted Screenplay Scripters Award for the WGA against all odds because, for me, it's one of the lamest screenplays of the year for its last half hour. We have Lincoln, Argo, like I said, Silver Linings Playbook. Also nominated in this category are two movies that have zero chance of winning, Life of Pi, which is actually an amazing adaptation despite a kind of a clunky
mechanic.
Yeah, of the narration and then going back to the story. Yeah.
Well, it was a novel that was never supposed to be, like, it could not be made into a movie, and they do it pretty effectively.
Yeah. And so technically you're like, yeah, it's clunky, but it really is about as good as it could have been.
Right.
Right.
Beasts of the Southern Wild is a screenplay nobody thought would get nominated, and in fact I've heard lots of people talk about, oh, that movie was probably just improvised. But I've looked at the screenplay. They sent it to us. And there's a lot of stuff in that screenplay that made it to the final film. And I'm really, really happy and excited that that's nominated. But it has zero chance of winning.
It's never going to win.
Yeah. So who's going to win?
Okay. So this is a category that I think could make me very happy. Now, am I hopeful that it will make me happy? No. I'm probably about 50-50. But it could. And here is my reasoning. I think Argo and Lincoln could split the vote, leaving an opening for Silver Linings.
I love the split the vote theory because it doesn't happen very
often. It doesn't happen very often, but this is one where there are two very clear front runners, and it's hard to pick on is it going to be Argo, is it going to be Lincoln, because both of them across the board have had significant emphasis, significant push. There is motivation for both of them. Silver Linings is the script that deserves it. Mm-hmm. The only way it's going to win is if Argo and Lincoln split the vote. I do think that's a long shot, you know, so to be realistic, I do think what I am proposing is a long shot.
It's what you want to win.
It's what I want to win, but I'm hopeful that it is at least a possibility.
It's a spoiler, maybe.
It is definitely a spoiler, and it would be a double spoiler because the two front runners outdo themselves.
So you're saying that Lincoln and Argo are basically Jack Nicholson and Daniel Day-Lewis, and that Adrian Brody might slip in there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that is exactly what I'm saying. So I'm going with Silver Linings on this one.
Nice.
And I'm just asking, I'm not challenging or anything, but why is Silver Linings your favorite?
Because Argo the story makes it into a form that is easy to sell, people like it. Mm-hmm. It makes it into a sort of action thrillery, you know, tense. Politically motivated drama thriller. Lincoln's a talky movie. It's kind of a weird procedural almost. Mm-hmm. And you already have a subject matter that people come into the theater engaged in. So it doesn't have a lot of work to do. All it has to do is not mess it up with Lincoln. Silver Linings, every single thing about that story should fail. Like, you've got two mentally off-balance people sort of in a romantic relationship that one basically tricks the other. One is constantly, like, moving away from, like, defining their relationship as not dating.
Right.
One tricks the other into kind of dating.
And it sounds like a bad romantic comedy.
Everything about it. I mean, dance competitions, you know,
all
moving back in with parents after nervous breakdowns.
Yeah. I had no interest in it.
Yeah. It could be an utter disaster. Everything about it should be an utter disaster, and it works beautifully. So to me, that's why, and a lot of it is on the page. A lot of it is because of the screenplay, and then, of course, David O. Russell's direction. But it starts with the screenplay, and that's where Silver Linings, like, is able to achieve all of these things that should be utter disasters elsewhere.
So I'm going to go with my explanation for my pick is just going to be completely based on how I think the Academy will fill out their ballot when they're looking at it as a whole.
Right.
Argo is probably the favorite here. Mm-hmm. I'm picking Tony Kushner for Lincoln because I knew all along he was going to win. I'm sticking with my guns. This is going to happen because when they look at their ballot and they realize that they haven't been giving Lincoln shit, this is the one where they're going to feel really good about it. They're going to go, oh, well, it's Tony Kushner. This is an award-winning playwright. He did Angels in America. I mean, this guy is a genius. And he
didn't
took
he
this,
win for Milk?
No, Milk was Dustin Lance Black.
Oh, that's right.
So, but he's saying, what they're saying with this pick is we're going to give it the one that is the most obvious to win, besides Daniel Day-Lewis, who's going to win. So I think Kushner is going to win here. I'm really trepidatious about it, though. I don't want Chris Terrio to win for Argo, so that's playing into it as well.
Right.
And like Trey, I'd like to see David O. Russell win for Silver Linings because I think that there's no reason that movie should work as well as it does.
Yeah. I echo the sentiment on Silver Linings. I do think it's an outside shot. It's a spoiler at best. Mm-hmm. I think the trend is too strong. I think it's Argo. I mean, I don't want it to be, but I just feel like the momentum's too great at this point. And I don't know when they actually did the voting is the thing. I don't know when.
Voting ended Saturday of last week.
Voting ended Saturday.
Yep.
So WGA win hadn't been out yet. Still, I don't know. I think just based on the amount of success Argo's had so far.
Yeah, it has swept the awards up to this point.
Yeah. So I think the safe bet's Argo. I would love it if Lincoln won. I mean, I Lincoln's a, you know, like it's a procedural, but it's a really well done procedural. And granted, I mean, it's
well, if you're looking at the adaptation, if we're calling this best adapted screenplay, and you're looking at the source material and what he ended up with, it's just like Zero Dark Thirty in that there's an amazing, huge amount of source material, and then they narrowed it down and made it very specific. And that's why this movie works.
Yeah.
Because if it was a big biography covering
the fact
that
it takes place over about 4 months or whatever.
Great decision. And carried out, you know, as good as it could have been. So. Yeah.
So
I'm happy to see him win, but I am a little bit worried.
And the three that we've just discussed are the three that could win it.
Yeah.
Everything, I mean, the other everything two, else is no, out. No chance.
So let's check on original.
Yeah, original screenplay. We've got Zero Dark Thirty, written by Mark Boal.
Mm-hmm.
We have Amour, written by Michael Haneke. Django Unchained, written by Quentin Tarantino. Flight, which was a weird one to include, written by John Gaddins. And Moonrise Kingdom, written by Wes Anderson and Roman Coppola.
Right. You know, it's funny. Flight came out a couple of weeks ago, and I've seen a lot of negativity and dissatisfaction with it on just general Facebook and Twitter.
It came out on home video.
And I don't know. I guess I liked it a lot more than we never got to talk about it on the podcast, but I actually, you know, it was a solid rock fist up for me. I actually really enjoyed that.
Yeah,
story.
I liked it too.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's perfectly reasonable, but again, I don't know that it has any business being in any of these categories.
No,
you know.
I mean, it's not. We're going to talk about alcoholism movies. I mean, you're never going to top Jack Lemmon, you know,
or Nicolas Cage. I would have liked to have seen Rian Johnson nominated for Looper in this category instead of Flight, but what are you going to do?
It would have just been another one that would have been at the bottom of the list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
this is insane. This category is nuts.
Yeah,
anything can happen here.
I don't know who to vote for.
You would normally think with Quentin Tarantino nominated in this category that people are going to go with him. He's only did he win for Bastards? He did, right?
Best director?
No. Best screenplay. I think he did win. Because wasn't The Hurt Locker adapted? Or was it not?
I don't think he won for Bastards. I don't think Bastards got anything except Christoph Waltz.
Okay. Yeah. So he hasn't won since Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction.
He won a Golden Globe last month.
Right.
Come on, really.
The original screenplay here at the WGA went to Zero Dark Thirty, which I think is very deserved for all the reasons that we already talked about before. But I feel that politically, the Academy seems to have something against it, and certainly Ed Asner and Martin Sheen, among other people, have mounted campaigns against it, which is insane. But Mark Boal has been campaigning heavily for it. Michael Haneke is an outside chance here for Amour, and originally, even 2 weeks ago, I thought he was a shoe-in for it, but I don't think that anymore either. I also think that Moonrise Kingdom has an outside chance just because it's so different from everything else. And when people look at the other frontrunners in this category, they're going to say we're sick of talking about these films, and there's a chance they might do that. Those are my three or my four frontrunners. I think Flight's the only one that doesn't stand a chance.
No.
Man, when you're spreading out the ballot, I think they're going to give Emmanuelle Reva Best Actress, so I'm not going to pick Amour in this category. I'm not going to pick Django Unchained because it's not his best script by a long shot, and I think people will understand that as much as they want to give it to him. I'm going to pick Mark Boal for Zero Dark Thirty I don't know. This is tough. This is really, really tough, but I'm going to go with Zero Dark Thirty. Amour is by far my favorite.
I think you can eliminate more than just Flight.
Mm-hmm.
I think Flight is absolutely out. I think Moonrise Kingdom is out, mainly because there are those scripts and there are those screenplays out there that we can really argue about. And Moonrise Kingdom I thought it was a really good film. And the screenplay, a lot of that comes through in the screenplay. I mean, there's some of the most emotionally compelling moments in any of Wes Anderson's work came in Moonrise Kingdom. So I do think it's a compelling screenplay. I do think it deserves to be here. I just don't feel like it's one that people are going to draw a line in the sand for.
Mm-hmm.
So it does come down to Amour, Django Unchained, and Zero Dark Thirty. I don't think Amour has a chance. I think Amour is going to win Best Foreign Film. And I think that's probably about it. Maybe Emmanuelle Reva. But because of that, because it's going to win Best Foreign Film, I don't think we're even going to argue over it here. So I think it comes down to Django Unchained and Zero Dark Thirty.
That's easy.
I think Zero Dark Thirty should win it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only way Django Unchained will win it is if the sort of political pushback against Zero Dark Thirty does take hold enough that Django Unchained can sneak in.
Those are both extreme films, though. You narrowed it down to two extreme films.
I know, but we don't have the political baggage around, you know, whether it's right or wrong to torture with Django Unchained. I understand it's a violent film. I understand it's a violent film.
Right.
But it is a completely fictional violent film based on a specific genre.
Looking ahead at our ballots, if they decide to reward Christoph Waltz with supporting actor because he won the Golden Globe and just recently the BAFTA.
Yeah.
They will not give this to Quentin Tarantino.
Right.
But if they don't go with Christoph Waltz, they might go with Tarantino here because I do believe that they're going to be spreading things out.
I think this is a tough category. I do think it's going to go to the Zero Dark Thirty.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
So two for Zero Dark Thirty.
I think it's Django.
Really?
I think it's Django entirely for political reasons.
Yeah.
I agree that it's down to Zero Dark and Django. I think it's Django. And I think that the Golden Globes kind of prove that for me.
Yeah, but the Golden Globes are star fuckers, and they want to have somebody big up there.
But Tarantino's always popular.
Yeah.
He's always nominated.
God, I hate to see him get it for this fucking movie, though.
I know. He should have gotten it for Bastards, but I think he's going to get it, and I think Zero Dark's the one that I think should get it. I think it's going to go to Django.
Are you ready to move on to the big six?
Yeah, we don't have a lot of time left, but we've talked about a lot of these big ones already, so we'll just move very quickly on this. In fact, we're going to only take 1 second on this one. I just want to hear your pick, and then we're going to move on.
All right.
Supporting actress. If you're filling out a ballot and you want to lose, pick Jackie Weaver for Silver Linings Playbook.
Yeah, if you're trying to throw your ballot, waste your vote on Jackie Weaver.
Also nominated, Helen Hunt for The Sessions, arguably a lead role, Amy Adams for The Master, my favorite, Sally Field for Lincoln, great job, and one of the worst performances of the year, Anne Hathaway in Les Miserables for a completely fake American Idol experience that was supposed to make everyone cry and apparently did because she's going to win.
Anne Hathaway.
Anne Hathaway.
Okay. Best Supporting Actor. This one's awesome.
Yeah.
The reason this category is so crazy is because every single person in it has already won.
Yeah.
We know that Alan Arkin will not win for Argo. I put him squarely at the bottom. Philip Seymour Hoffman for The Master already won the Critics' Choice and also, I believe, the Golden Globe. But for some reason, nobody's predicting him to win here.
He's that really great middle of the pack guy.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of people have him as second, third, fourth picks in this category. No one is championing him.
The best of the year, though, in my opinion, is the single best performance supporting.
I get it.
Lead in any movie.
I get it.
Tommy Lee Jones for Lincoln. He won the SAG. Big favorite to win here. Christoph Waltz for Django Unchained. He did win. Oh, no. I guess he beat Philip Seymour Hoffman in the Golden Globe.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hoffman won the Critics' Choice Award. And Robert De Niro for Silver Linings Playbook, who hasn't won anything yet. But Silver Linings Playbook is a Weinstein film.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert De Niro was recently interviewed by Katie Couric and broke down and cried. So there is a huge amount of press that Weinstein is putting behind him, and you can feel it because I feel like they are worried about losing Best Actress.
Yeah.
And they're still pushing for picture, but I think they know it's a lost cause. They're putting all of their weight behind Robert De Niro, a guy who has not been nominated since Cape Fear and hasn't won since 1980, and Raging Bull, who's made shit tons of crappy movies.
Yep.
And Robert De Niro is my pick for Best Supporting Actor to win. My favorite is Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Christoph Waltz is going to win it, and Philip Seymour Hoffman's my favorite.
Huh. Yeah, Philip Seymour Hoffman is my favorite also. I'm going to go with Tommy Lee Jones because he's the third one in there. And again, I think that could be the sort of spread the love around because I don't know that Kushner is going to get it for Lincoln's
screenplay. And he's just so likable.
Tommy Lee Jones? Yeah. I mean, he's really warm and approachable. But I think Christoph Waltz at this point has become kind of a spoiler.
Yeah.
And at one point, he was really throwing punches in this category.
This is a three-way race for sure. Yeah. I'm sad to say Hoffman's not in it. And Christoph Waltz is obviously a lead performance. I think he's on screen for more than half the films.
I think it's
at least
very
60 minutes.
Yeah, I think it's really weird to give this to Robert De Niro. I think Tommy Lee Jones, you can at least make an argument, even though I think it's a bad argument. Mm-hmm. An argument can be made. And Christoph Waltz, I think that Django is either going to win for screenplay or nothing at all.
I'm excited that Trevin's picking Christoph Waltz because I love that performance.
Yeah.
But I think that he is the most recent winner in this category, and they will not give him another one.
There's no
2 years later.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pretty all right, best actress. And I'm going with De Niro kind of also because I want him to win. I thought he was great in that movie.
I didn't think he'd...
Tommy Lee Jones.
Did anything.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Okay, best actress. We know that Kevenjenay Wallace has zero chance of winning, but we all mm-hmm. love her in Beasts of the Southern Wild. Mm-hmm. Naomi Watts was one of the better things about The Impossible, which is a difficult movie
vote
to process.
Her. Vote for her if you don't. If you're going for zero ballot,
yeah,
vote
yeah.
for Naomi Watts.
Yeah, or Kevenjenay.
Or Kevenjenay.
I would say that Jessica Chastain was the front runner in this category up until about 3 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
Especially after her wins at the Critics' Choice and the Golden Globes in the dramatic category.
Yeah.
Jennifer Lawrence, of course, won the comedic category Golden Globe.
Yeah.
And then we have Emmanuel Riva for Amour, who didn't get nominated for a SAG at all and hasn't really been in the conversation up to this point, but there is a ton of goodwill headed her way. I think that Jennifer Lawrence is a 22-year-old or 23-year-old actress.
Yeah.
Or maybe she's a little older than that. But
no, she's like 23, I think.
Yeah, she has a huge career ahead of her. Jessica Chastain's in her 30s, but she does as well. I think Emmanuel Riva, this performance is one of those where you're rewarding somebody for not just the performance, but for their entire career.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Emmanuel Riva is going to win this, and I think it's just because her performance and her personality holds a little more weight than somebody like Jennifer Lawrence.
I could see that. I mean, there is a history, but typically it's in supporting categories of giving it to, you know, the older actor who's at the end of their career that has done something really fascinating. Although I know who is the lead actor in Straight Story. Did he win for that?
Richard
but he
Farnsworth.
Was not. Yeah, he was nominated. I think that's what happens to the older actor nominated in the lead role. I think if Emmanuel Riva was nominated in the supporting category, I think she would be the one to challenge Anne Hathaway. She's not. She's in a lead role. So I think this has to go to Chastain or Lawrence. I just don't know.
Who's it going to be?
I'm going to go with Chastain just because. I'm going to go with Chastain. I'm going to go with Chastain. I think that there is a big push for Lawrence right now, and there's a lot of goodwill toward Riva.
Weinstein.
I know. I get it. I get it. I get all of that. I just feel like there's inertia behind Chastain, and they're just going to have
to... Oh, I disagree. I think it's disappeared. It's gone.
Maybe.
She's porked.
Okay.
It's going to be Chastain. It's going to be the only award that Zero Dark Thirty gets that night. It's going to be Chastain. Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be Jessica Chastain.
You're picking Django for screenplay over Zero Dark Thirty.
Yeah.
And you're picking Chastain for actress.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is really in. I mean, I think Jennifer Lawrence, I don't think she's going to win. I think it's a sort of comedy curse.
It's a neck and neck race. I don't think Emmanuel Riva stands a chance. I think you're voting for her because you love that movie.
I think if anybody was going to take it from Chastain, it would be Lawrence.
Yeah,
this is the award.
It's clearly those two. They're the only two.
Yeah.
Emmanuel. No one is saying anything about Emmanuel
Riva. So you guys
Riva
are both saying
except for
that
you
because
you love
going
that
to
movie.
Win best foreign film and nothing.
And
else.
That's it. Yes.
Not screenplay. Not director. Not actor.
No.
Yes. I think that's the give me to Amour.
And maybe my love for Amour is clouding my judgment and thinking that they're going to reward it one more thing, but I think they will, and I think this is it.
Okay. I don't think it is. Okay. Yeah. So
everything else is kind of downhill from here. Yeah. Best actor. There's this guy called Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was Abraham Lincoln in this movie called Lincoln. And
I now see his face when I look at the penny.
Yeah.
Yeah, who's the one you should vote for if you're trying to go for zero?
If you're going
Bradley
for zero,
Cooper,
I would say Hugh Jackman for Les Miserables.
Hugh Jackman.
Or no, Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper, yeah.
Bradley Cooper.
Those are both zeros.
Denzel Washington for Flight and Joaquin Phoenix for The Master.
Yeah, I think
Joaquin has zero chance.
Yeah, vote for Joaquin Phoenix.
Really?
Yeah.
I think Denzel has less of a chance than Joaquin. Joaquin's at least got some awards from it. Denzel
but Joaquin doesn't want that carrot.
I know. But I'm just, yeah. I don't know. Anyway.
It doesn't really matter because it's going to be matter. Daniel Day-Lewis.
Daniel Day-Lewis, easy.
Okay, now, because Ben Affleck is not nominated for Best Director, this category is completely thrown off this year. We have Steven Spielberg for Lincoln and Ang Lee for Life of Pi, both previous winners.
Oh, no Catherine Bigelow, though.
Right, no Catherine Bigelow, no Tom Hooper, no Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
The other three people who have...
Those movies directed themselves.
Yeah. David O. Russell for Silver Linings Playbook.
No chance.
I disagree.
You think so?
Yeah. I think the no chance in this category are Michael Haneke for Amore and the zero chance.
Yeah, Ben Zeitlin.
Ben Zeitlin. Southern Wild.
Yeah, no way.
Amazing nomination. I'm so happy that those two were nominated. I think this is a three-way race, and I think that everybody thought it was going to be Spielberg.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, the love for Lincoln has been dissipating. I think that people are not passionate about it. They just know that it is an achievement. And it's hard sometimes to vote for the achievement.
Right.
But because, Life of Pi will not get a lot of things, I'm picking Ang Lee in this category to win.
Wow.
Yeah. I think that this is where they're going to reward Life of Pi, which got 11 nominations, and it'll win cinematography and... it won't win cinematography and probably should. So I'm picking it here.
Okay.
And my favorite is Michael Haneke.
Hmm. I think they're going to go with Spielberg. Ang Lee and Spielberg have both won in this category before. David O. Russell hasn't. He would be the interesting choice. But I think David O. Russell is the number three by a long shot. I don't think David O. Russell has a chance against either Ang Lee or Spielberg. I think because they've got the flexibility in this category, whereas, both Bigelow and Affleck haven't been nominated here, and yet their pictures were nominated in Best Picture, I think they've got some weird flexibility with this because I don't think Lincoln's going to win Best Picture. I don't think Life of Pi is going to win Best Picture.
Right, they can split it.
So they can kind of just give it to whoever they want to. Mm-hmm. I still think it's going to be Spielberg. I mean, I have a troubled history with Spielberg. Mm-hmm. So if I have to make a choice, I would go with Ang Lee, even though I don't really think he deserves it necessarily.
I think he deserves it, even though Haneke was my favorite. But yeah. I think that they're going to vote for Ang Lee in this category also because of the challenge.
The challenge
of adapting Life of Pi and turning that into the amazing thematic success and visual success of storytelling. I just think that that's something they're going to – and
I would
the
be
budget.
Happy. Yeah. I would be happy if Ang Lee won.
It's an achievement.
Not happy, but I'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
I would be unhappy when Spielberg wins it. So, therefore, Spielberg is going to win this category.
For the record, all five of these films were in my top 10, and I'd be happy if any of them won.
Yeah.
It's going to be Spielberg. I think it's going to be Spielberg, and then I think David O. Russell's the spoiler. I don't think it's Ang Lee.
You don't think he's in it at all?
Really?
No,
you
I'm
don't?
Asking. You don't?
Oh, you think Ang Lee and Spielberg may split the vote, and David O. Russell will sneak in? I think he's going to do that for screenplay. I don't think they're going to let that happen for director.
But basically, everything you said about Life of Pi, I could take and say about Lincoln, with the exception of the visual effectiveness that Life of Pi has.
Yeah.
Lincoln is so well done in such a way that it almost looks easy. You're like, oh, yeah, that's how that story should be told. And it's like, well, that's because they worked really fucking hard to tell it that way. You know,
right.
it's not like it didn't happen on accident. So I think it's going to be Spielberg.
All right, moving on to the Best Picture category, our final category. This could be a replay of Shakespeare in Love versus Saving Private Ryan, the year that Weinstein took Spielberg down, or it couldn't. Neither one of them might win, and it could go to Argo. Let's see what happens. We got Django Unchained, mm-hmm. Beasts of the Southern Wild, Amour, Les Miserables, which has no business being in this category, Life of Pi, Zero Dark Thirty, Lincoln, Silver Linings Playbook, and Argo. And if we had to narrow it down to three, what three do you think have the best chance of winning, starting with Trevin?
Jesus. The three that have the best chance of winning.
Hmm.
Lincoln, Life of Pi, best chance. Is this an open category where anyone can vote?
It is.
Okay, so then it's definitely Lincoln, Life of Pi, and probably three most likely, probably Les Mis, if we're looking at most likely.
Wow. That's really weird.
No, I'm telling you again.
I think Trevin doesn't have the list of nominees in front of him.
Yeah.
So he's forgotten to mention Argo.
Yeah.
Well, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Which we all, none of us liked as much as everybody else. But
well, I'm just saying, Argo has a lot of heat around it, but the voting ended last week. I mean, it's...
When it still had a lot of heat. I think this is Argo, Silver Linings, and Lincoln. Those are the three that can win here. I would love to see Life of Pi win, but I don't think it has a chance. I think Zero Dark Thirty's out. I think Les Miserables was never in.
I think off reputation, you can't rule that movie out.
I think
even though it's lost all these other places, I just think that based off of
reputation. Well, don't you think that it's revelatory that people are saying that Ben Affleck was snubbed and Catherine Bigelow was snubbed and nobody says Tom Hooper was snubbed?
Because he wasn't. He sucked.
Yeah,
he wasn't.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, that's what it comes down to.
I don't know. I worry about a bunch of people that haven't seen the movies or haven't seen all of them or haven't seen, you know, like... I would worry about Les Mis being voted on.
Yeah, but you're talking about like nine of
in this
the,
category. I think they've seen them all.
Yeah,
I really do.
I don't think that's a problem. Okay. At least seven or eight out of nine.
And a month ago,
I'm going to stick with my three weird choices.
Before Argo started winning everything, a month ago, I would have stuck with my Weinstein versus Spielberg showdown.
I
would have said this is between Silver Linings Playbook as a far outside chance.
Yeah.
And Lincoln, which is the front runner. Lincoln is no longer the front runner.
Yeah.
I think Silver Linings is still a possible spoiler because it's Weinstein and we can't count it out and because there is passion for it, more so than even Lincoln. I think Argo wins. It's not even a conversation. Argo is going to win Best Picture of the
year. It makes total sense that it would. I mean, it's the most digestible, pleasant movie. And its message is very like, go Hollywood, go America.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And it doesn't ask hard questions. It doesn't.
Nope.
It doesn't really challenge. You know, it's a very pleasant.
It's a brisk, entertaining film.
I think Argo wins, but I don't think it's just. I don't think there are three in here. I think this is a much more mixed bag category than that. I think Life of Pi is still in there as a possible spoiler. I think Silver Linings is at play as a possible spoiler. And I mean, even Lincoln with its sort of procedural gravitas. Is a possible spoiler. But keep in mind, all three of those films would only be spoilers for the inevitable win of Argo.
Yeah. God, I can't believe that.
I know. I know.
Isn't that crazy?
I
didn't dislike that movie.
How did we lose the House, Here's Senate, the and presidency? Like, how did this happen?
Here's the thing. Last year's winner, The Artist.
Yeah.
It's a movie that not everybody loved, but most people liked.
Yeah.
The year before, King's Speech. Not a movie that everybody loved, but a movie that most people liked. Argo is not a movie that everybody loves and is passionate about. Certainly a more Silver Linings, Zero Dark Thirty, and Beasts have that distinction.
It's our
people
Forrest
who love
Gump.
Them. But it's the movie that everybody kind of likes and nobody hates. So that's why Argo wins.
Yeah. When it comes down to it, the safe bet's always the smart one to make when it comes to this stuff. But then you get in and, you know, who knows?
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, we thought King's Speech was going to win a ton of stuff, and it...
Luckily, there are always some fun surprises, you know, where even if you just get your at least you get your one category where you're like, man, yeah, but at least we got that. It's almost never Best Picture and Best Director.
No.
I remember the year No Country won, and I was disappointed because it beat There Will Be Blood.
That was a year where I...
Yeah, but I mean, that's like...
Exactly.
Like,
I had to walk
you
away. It's
won
like, wait, I'm
everything.
Mad
yeah.
like,
because
won.
You have to make that decision.
Yeah.
So I already win.
This year, I've been railing against Argo for pretty much the entire awards season, and there's been a lot of people making fun of me and against me on social media saying, you know, Argo's going to win. You're right. I've swallowed that pill a couple weeks ago, and I know Argo's going to win.
It is going to win. But it's going to win for the same reason that Forrest Gump wins.
Right.
It's going, you know, that's why it's going to win. It's going to win for the same reason Ordinary People beat Raging Bull. Which no one discusses that.
Yeah.
Which no one discusses that anymore. Yeah. Like, we only talk about Raging Bull.
Yeah, no one talks about Ordinary People. No one's like, man, have you seen, you got to put it on your
list. Ordinary People is a pretty good movie.
Right.
It's no Raging Bull.
No.
We will not be talking about it in 20 or 30 years. We will still be talking about Raging Bull.
Well, I mean, look at the King's Speech.
So,
that's the first time I've heard the King's Speech
making,
in 30 years.
If you were making fun of Eric for not wanting Argo to win... Think about Pulp Fiction. Think about Ordinary People. Think about Dances with Wolves.
Yeah.
Think about those films and think about why you're rooting for Argo.
We can't end it any better than that. So we're going to go. We hope to see you Sunday. You know, it's going to be a great time. Screenland Armor. Get there by 7:30.
Yeah.
And that's it. So we're going to go.
Have a good weekend. Roll.